Gesundheit in den Menschen. Ich möchte Gott wieder danken, dass du alle dich gerade hast. Namaste, Cyrus, want to be the core of my journey. And here the Shesha Shunya Vadi, Pastichana Vishitana. Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Jayananda. Sri Advaitharadha, Sri Vasadhi Gora, Kavinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare. Much trouble, tribute, scattering the sin of the image. But he died of the young Vaishnavi, the young Ramona, the Vaishnavi, the young Ramona. Well, thank you so much for this wonderful program. I was not expecting so many devotees. Of course, we have, you could say, hijacked the Sunday program, sort of. We have a captive audience, if that's things. But in another sense, it's so nice that you've come to participate and offer your kind good wishes and blessings and so on. Because we're dependent on the devotees, the mercy of the devotees. Beginning, of course, with Srila Prabhupada, but not limited to Srila Prabhupada. So, you know, we listen. We listen to what the devotees say, their offerings, and we consider what they say, appreciate what they say. There are two aspects to the nature of the relationship between the spiritual master and the disciple. Well, one thing which one of my godbrothers said, which I thought was really very appropriate, His Holiness Bhakti Vaibhava Swami Maharaj said that in the relationship between the spiritual master and the disciple, there are two things. There is mercy and there is a burden. Two things. And he said then, carried on and said, the disciple gets the mercy and the spiritual master gets the burden. Yeah, that's very nice. It's not always entirely like that, but in certain respects it's like that. But actually that was not what I was really getting at in talking about two aspects in terms of the relationship. That's a different perspective. But one factor which is there is that the spiritual master is a teacher, or the main teacher, or a teacher, or a main teacher, and the disciple is a student. That, of course, is definitely there. As Lord Krishna himself says in Bhagavad Gita, Hari Prashnena Sevaya. The disciple in approaching the spiritual master must inquire Prashna or Hari Prashnena by questioning Prashna and Sevaya by rendering service. So, the inquiring part, this is the educational part, it's a very important part of the relationship because we are born in ignorance. We are born in ignorance. And being brought up in the Western world, and we include Mauritius in the Western world. Being brought up in the Western world, not only are we born in ignorance, but then our ignorance sort of develops further by becoming caught up in this world and thinking this world is so important and this is our home and we're meant to be here and our business is to make the most of being here in material terms. It just compounds the ignorance. It compounds it just in and of itself, but also it compounds it and sort of complicates it by the sense of pride, arrogance, and we are important and it's our world, we can do what we like with it. So like this, we're born in ignorance, and generally speaking, it doesn't get better. Even if you go to school and you do well, and you get a PhD, I don't know if we have any here. But Prabhupada translated PhD as plough department. Plough as in agriculture, just simply ploughing the ground. It's not a very sophisticated activity. It's just a way to get money. It's just a way to get a better job. That's the idea. And actually one is still in ignorance in the real sense of the term. Prabhupada did not consider material knowledge material expertise. He didn't really consider these things to be knowledge. Prabhupada considered these things. She, running away from this. She, going to die. She, getting out of that creature. Prabhupada considered material intelligence, as being not exactly intelligence, but cleverness. Material cleverness. Whereas real intelligence means to understand who you are and what is this world and what is your position here, what to do about it, how to make your life successful in those terms, real substantial terms. So anyway, therefore part of the relationship between spiritual master and disciple is that the spiritual master is a teacher, an educator, and is imparting knowledge, and the disciple takes that knowledge and then tries to apply that knowledge practically and develop a whole lifestyle and a whole life simply based on that knowledge. And in that way one can progress in Krishna consciousness. So that's a very important aspect of the relationship between the spiritual master and the disciple. And therefore Srila Prabhupada gave so many books, and said so many things. You know, the amount of information given by Srila Prabhupada just about these things, advancing in Krishna consciousness, it is vast. If you compare what Jesus said or Muhammad or even you could say what Krishna said, or in terms of the records we have, Prabhupada has said a lot more, many times more. So and we should read those things and we should learn those things. And if you learn those things nicely, then whatever situation you find yourself in life, in this world, you will know how to address that situation and deal with it in Krishna consciousness. And like this, you'll progress. So that's very nice. But then there's another aspect. And in a certain sense, it is more important. You could say that. The nature of that is that it's a transcendental relationship. Srila Prabhupada once said that, what is Krishna consciousness? What is it? Prabhupada then answered his own question. Prabhupada said, Krishna consciousness is the development of a loving relationship with Krishna, disguised as a process. This is very profound. The development of a loving relationship, but it's disguised as a process. It looks like a process that you do this and you don't do that, and there are certain rules, and if you do some things that you shouldn't do, you can be in trouble. All these types of ideas. And even for that matter, Srila Prabhupada referred to Krishna consciousness on many occasions as a process. So, we don't want to just sort of try and minimize that idea, but the point is, and it really is the point, that the whole goal of the process, if we call it that, and of the education and all these things, the whole goal is simply to develop a loving relationship with Krishna. That's all. In the Loka Vrindavan, people do not, they don't follow a process. They just love Krishna, and they do things for Krishna, and they try, they're just dedicated to pleasing Krishna. That's all they do. They don't really do anything else. Yes. So that is what it's all about, ultimately, to develop such a relationship with Krishna and reawaken our own already existing but covered relationship with Krishna, which is already there within the heart, but to reawaken it and bring it out and understand it and live it. That is Krishna consciousness. And all the rules and regulations and things to do with process, they're simply servants of that. That's all. They're simply there to facilitate that, the development of the loving relationship. So, now, but for us, living here in this material world, we may hear that, we have just heard that, developing our loving relationship with Krishna, but we are here, and He is there. And there means that's a long way away. That place where it's all going on, where the loving relationships are going on, it's a long way away. So how are we going to learn to develop that relationship if Krishna is, in a certain sense, very remote and very distant. And of course there are books, and you can understand so many things from books, but it's relationship, personal relationship, and you've got to go into a personal relationship in personal terms, not just academic terms like that. So the next point is that, in terms of how are we going to develop such a relationship, actually, in the really classic sense, it is through developing such a relationship with the spiritual master, who is the representative, the Prabhupada would say, transcendental via medium between us and the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, the relationship with the spiritual master, it should never be minimized or underestimated. The importance of it, the value of it, and the necessity of developing it in those personal terms as a relationship. So, and it happens that if we do that, then love for the spiritual master develops more and more. And in the course of that, love for Krishna develops, following that, on the basis of that, developing the loving relationship with the spiritual master. And we have personal experience. We have personal experience in our relationship with Srila Prabhupada. It means putting basically all Prabhupada disciples, that through serving Srila Prabhupada, well, following his instructions in the educational sense, listening to him and so on, reading his books and learning verses and so on, part of it. But really, what deepened it was the rendering of service, the remembrance, the meditation on Prabhupada, and the appreciation for Srila Prabhupada and what he had done for us, and being with him sometimes, being with him. And those loving relationships developed, devotees' loving relationships with Prabhupada developed in most amazing ways, just amazing ways. Very deep, very heartfelt, and very loving. You know, before I became a devotee, I thought I understood what it means to love and be loved. After all, in the youth culture, at least in those days, the sort of the teenage culture, it was only talk about love, songs about love, and I want to hold your hand. That's all it was. And of course we had our parents, and my parents, I would say that if you asked them if they loved me, I'm sure they would answer yes. They would definitely say that. And they felt like that. And I basically felt that they loved me, and basically felt that I loved them. And so in that sense, I thought I understood love. what it means to love and to be loved. But as time went on, it became apparent that that love was not quite as deep or quite what I had thought it was. You know, one very important sort of milestone in terms of developing that realization was when I became a Hare Krishna devotee. And the way my parents reacted, which was not too bad compared to how some other parents reacted. Actually, it was relatively, you know, I wouldn't, if you were to give it marks out of 10, I would give it a 6 or something like that. Now, they didn't become devotees as some parents did on some few occasions. But, you know, anyway, something like that. But as time went on, and as I was applying myself more in Krishna consciousness, I saw, you know, particularly as time really went on, that their love for me, it wasn't really so much. And they sort of were dissatisfied with the fact that I was Krishna, in Krishna consciousness. My father wanted me to continue his business, and so on. And then I realized, of course, my Krishna consciousness was developing at the same time. And it became clear that I didn't really understand love through that, having been through all of that with them. I didn't really understand what it meant to love or to be loved. It was something, but it just wasn't that much. But as the relationship with Srila Prabhupada developed, and being with devotees who are going through the same experience, developing their relationships with Prabhupada, it became really clear that this is love. And it's really something different and, you know, a different nature and on a higher level, like more intense, stronger feelings than that other love which I had been through for so many years. Yes, and I remember it all sort of came to a peak in a certain sense when Srila Prabhupada left this world. Means like that day and the few following days. That the whole Hare Krishna movement stopped. I mean, it didn't stop, but all the activities stopped. And everyone was just sort of in suspended animation state, or paralyzed even. I mean, everyone was chanting their rounds and so on, but nothing else was really happening. And the devotees were just so deeply affected by the loss of Srila Prabhupada. It really was really quite an experience. And it kind of culminated also the following year, when was the first Vyasa Puja of Srila Prabhupada after his disappearance, 1978. And we were all gathered in Bhaktivedanta Manor, England, for Prabhupada's Vyasa Puja. And different offerings were made. And I remember one in particular, I'll never forget it. It was just, it kind of embodied everything, what I've been saying. when one devotee named Tribhuvanath Prabhu, a disciple of Prabhupada, unfortunately passed away, Shishi Radhikalukananda Shishi Gornitashi Giri Govardhan Jyotai. So he read an offering by one of the more senior devotees of the time. And this devotee had been personal assistant of Srila Prabhupada for quite some time and had a close personal relationship over an extended period of time with Srila Prabhupada, and had personally served him, like served him prasadam and just read his mail and done everything like face to face with Srila Prabhupada. So this devotee, in his offering, he was describing that as if he was now doing it again. I come into your room and I do this and I do that, and you say this and I offer you that. It was very, very personal, very intimate, him having exchanges back and forth with Srila Prabhupada. And it was so profound, the effect, everyone was in an emotional state. There was perhaps 300 devotees or something like that present. Everyone was in a very emotional state. But when this offering was read, first of all, the devotee had great difficulty reading it. He would read one sentence and then he couldn't read. He would stop and try and compose himself. And then after some whatever number of seconds, 20 seconds or 30, he'd read another sentence, doing something for Prabhupada, and then he couldn't read further and he just stopped and tried to compose himself. And then after a little while he'd read another sentence. And to read that offering, it wasn't one of these long offerings. It was just a page perhaps. To read that offering took at least half an hour. And everybody who was there was just, everybody was just crying non-stop. It was really just another experience altogether. And the realization that came from that of what is our relationship with Prabhupada, what is Prabhupada's relationship with us in terms of a loving personal relationship, it was just vivid, dramatic, vivid in the extreme. Yes, we had had some experience. Prabhupada came to the manor, his last visit to the Western world. In 77, he came and he had his Vyasa Puja there. In 77. And Prabhupada couldn't really walk. So they would carry him down into the temple room in Bhaktivedanta Manor, and he would sit there on the chair that he was carried down in. And the devotees would have Guru Puja and then Kirtan. And the big authorities, the GBCs, there were a few GBCs there, they said, just have very mild Kirtan. You know, don't really sort of, you know, have one of these too active Kirtans. Unfortunately, or fortunately, or whatever, the devotees weren't able to follow that instruction. and the kids' hands were amazing. And Srila Prabhupada was just sitting there on the chair in front of his BSSN, just looking out over the devotees. And Prabhupada was looking around. He had dark glasses on, which he was inside. And then his eyes had some sort of condition. And he was sitting there, sometimes like this, and sometimes just sitting there, and looking around slowly. And as things built up, gradually tears started coming from under the dark glasses. And an actual stream of tears was coming down, came to his chin, and then gradually, one after the other, little drops were falling from his chin. Yeah, and we understood that Srila Prabhupada loved us, that he loves us. And it's not just like he's the teacher, or he's the boss, he's the leader, or something like that. But he really loves us. So the relationship, Vyasa Puja time means, of course, it's just the right time to consider how I'm doing in Krishna consciousness, but also, and more specifically, how is my relationship with my spiritual master developing? How much is my appreciation for my spiritual master developing? How much is my gratitude for my spiritual master developing? How much is my desire, and how much am I driven to render service and to please my spiritual master? And maybe look back at the previous year and just try and make a little evaluation how I've been doing. But like this, because one approaches Krishna, we cannot really approach Krishna independently. Of course, we chant Hare Krishna. We chant Hare Krishna. The deities are there. So it's not entirely like Krishna is a distant person in some remote place where we are just too many miles from. It's not, Krishna is definitely there, but to be able to approach Krishna as he is here, or to speak of as he is there, it can only be done through the spiritual master. And this is how it works. This is the process. Yes. So it's a very important occasion. It's very important that everyone who would like to progress actually, and really, if possible, go back to Godhead and not just be a passenger or just, a permanent guest. We were joking yesterday. Some devotee, well, Prabhupada said, in order to advance, if you want to advance, accept some responsibility in his movement to do something of some substance. And not, we joked yesterday, that you may ask some devotee, what is your service in ISKCON? What are you doing in ISKCON? And the devotee may answer, My service ends. On Sunday, I eat the feast. Well, it is a service. It definitely is a service, and it's really a lot better than nothing. But it's not that much in terms of, you know, trying to take things seriously or on a more advanced level. What is your service? My service is to sit in the Sunday class and then take prasadam. Not just to take prasadam. So yeah, we should accept some responsibility. We should have some service, and we should try and do that service very attentively, very carefully, do it nicely, not just because they asked me to do it, or because I'm meant to do it, or because I have to do it. But as a real offering of love, love in the sense of reciprocating for what we've received, love in the sense of expressing our gratitude for the mercy we've received. So yes, this is done. Progress in Krishna consciousness is really made through the development of the relationship with the spiritual master. And Krishna emphasizes this here and there in his teachings. And for that matter, even Krishna himself accepted a spiritual master. Lord Chaitanya did. Lord Ram, they all did. Lord Nityananda, they all accepted. So therefore, Vyasa Puja is a very important occasion for, on one hand, having a little more facility to express one's appreciation. If one is a disciple, particularly if one's initiated, or if one's, like you could say, an official aspiring disciple, one is meant to write an offering. I mentioned the other day, I think here sometime, that Prabhupada, when he had his first Vyasa Puja, as I heard, it was in Japan, and there were not many devotees, but there was several or ten or so devotees. And Prabhupada just gave a little outline, you should do this and this and this, and then they tried to do it, and they really made a mess of it. It was a mess. And Prabhupada stopped it and said, "No, we will do it again tomorrow. And each one of you must write an offering to me." Sounds a little extraordinary, doesn't it? He is ordering you to write an offering to him. You must do it. And when they did the program the next day, he was managing it. Now you do this. Now, okay, bathe the feet. Now, where's the arati paraphernalia? Now you offer the arati. Now you read the offerings. All these things. Now, yeah, he did it. And it's not, of course, anything to do with some pride or wanting importance at all. But it's just such an important thing. It has to be taught, along with everything else in Krishna consciousness. So yes, like this, the Vyasa Puja is very important. The relationship with the spiritual master is very important. The education that the spiritual master gives is also very important. It's essential. All these things are essential, but the end result should be, is meant to be, and will be, if it's done as nicely as reasonably possible, that love develops. Love develops. In the sense of heartfelt dedication to this spiritual master, and willingness, not just willingness like, yes, I'll do it, willingness, but enthusiasm, inspiration to render service as much as possible and as nicely as possible. So, Vinyasa Purusha is very important. In terms of the education, let me just say one further word about that. Is that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, Srila Prabhupada's spiritual master, he once met in Mayapur, somewhere in Bengal, he met with one American scholar. This is now the 1930s, early 1930s. And in those days, foreigners didn't visit India much. But this one did. He was a scholar, sort of an Indologist. He understood some Sanskrit and so on. And he came and he met with Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta preached to him. And it was recorded. And at one point, or towards the end, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta explained to him about the Das Avatar, the 10 sort of popular incarnations of the Lord. So he explained. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, if you've ever tried reading Brahma Samhita, you know his English was extremely sophisticated, like dictionary English, not colloquial. So he explained, and he explained that one interesting point he brought out is that the different of the Das Avatars, as you go through the list one after the other, and then you come to the end, each one progressively is a type of manifestation of more evolved consciousness, one after the other. Try and digest that if you can. Good luck. Anyway, really, that's what he says. Yeah, and then he finishes, and he says to the scholar, "So, how do you like my presentation? How do you like what I said?" And the man was in a condition, sort of like, "Wow, it had gone way under his head." And he just didn't know what to say. But then he said, "Well, I'll have to think about it." You could say a suitable answer under those circumstances. Better than saying, "Well, I just couldn't follow. I'll have to think about it." Oh, yes. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta gave a very interesting and important answer. Don't think about it too much with your conditioned consciousness and conditioned intelligence. If you think about it too much, you will come up with all these ideas which are just manifestations of your material consciousness. That's all. So don't think about it, but hear about it from devotees. Because if you hear about it, on one hand, you'll get the right information and not just some concocted idea. But on the other hand, there is a certain quality to the sound vibration, a transcendental quality. And that quality of sound vibration, when it contacts your otherwise material consciousness, it will give you the capacity to understand these things. Yeah, that's profound. So the education is very important. And we should take the education as it is from Krishna, from Prabhupada, and from Prabhupada's bona fide representatives, and we'll get the right information, plus our intelligence will develop transcendentally, and things which are, if you're in material consciousness, things which are otherwise a bit incomprehensible, spiritual things, you'll be able to grasp. Yeah. So that's a little point about the educational side, but otherwise, the thing is, this point that Prabhupada made, that what is Krishna consciousness? It is the development of a loving relationship with Krishna, but it is disguised as a process. And because of our positions just being in this material world for many lifetimes, to just develop a loving relationship with Krishna like that, it's not really possible. Not a real, substantial, genuine and transcendentally real relationship with Krishna. But through the relationship with the spiritual master, as the via medium, and developing a loving relationship with the spiritual master, then one's loving relationship with Krishna will be able to develop and blossom and become perfect. So yes, Vyasa Puja is quite an occasion in these terms, and these should be the terms that we see it in and we participate, at least if we're disciples or aspiring disciples. It should be the mood in which we participate. Yes. That should be the mood. And every Vyasa Puja, we can look back, as we said, and look at ourselves now, and we can look forward, look ahead. What is the next step for me? What is my next step? Considering who I am, what I am, where I am in Krishna consciousness, and yeah, my situation, what would be a natural next step forward for me to progress? And there is a natural next step forward for all of us. There is, right now, today. It exists. So, and we should pray to Krishna and the spiritual master, and perhaps particularly Srila Prabhupada. We should pray that they give us the intelligence to understand what is the next step forward, actually, and how to take it. Yes, so it is very deep. It's very deep. And it's very real. It is not just some hypothetical thing or sentimental thing, not simply an emotional thing we should get worked up about it. But it's a very real transcendental relationship. You know what they say? Two's company, Three is a crowd. In this case, three is company. Or four, the devotee, the spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, and Krishna. I want to just close by telling you one story, one of an experience I had. It was not the first, but one of the first experiences I had, which showed me that these things, what I've been saying to you, are true. And they're not just philosophical ideas, but they're just realities. This might sound a little strange, but we were out distributing books in England, 1973. It was perhaps April, May, June, something like that. 73. And we were in a place called Birmingham in England. It's a fairly large city, kind of somewhere in the center of England. And there we were, distributing books. And we were distributing Srimad Bhagavatam books on the street. You know, hardbound, the big ones, the serious ones, to just the people on the street. Here, take a book. And I must be honest, I was just having a hard time. I really was. You know, we start in the morning and we go through till 5 or 5.30 till the people have left the streets. And it was now about 4 o'clock and I hadn't distributed one book. Not a single one. And I was not happy. And yeah, it was, you know, I was kind of somewhat disturbed. But then I got this inspiration through the heart that I shouldn't worry. What I should do is, I should just remember, first of all, I am doing this as a service to Srila Prabhupada. That's all. Just for his pleasure. Not for me. What happens to me doesn't matter. But really, to really try and think like that. And yes, and I should fix my mind like that. So I did. I really fixed my mind. You know, when you get into these negative situations, they can be, you know, strong stimuli for focusing. So yeah, I really focused on Srila Prabhupada. And you know what happened? The next person I gave the book to, I said the same things. And the person took the book. And it was almost like, what? How did that happen? And the idea came to my mind, could it possibly be because I was really focusing on Prabhupada and trying to please him? Could it be, or was it just luck, or just happened to hit the right person or something? So I thought, okay, let me try again. So I did. In exactly the same way. And the next person, the same thing happened.
Jai,
yes, I mean, it's and I thought, wow. You know, I've been a devotee for 6 months or some 4 to 6 months, whatever. So I'd heard so much how Prabhupada is special. He's dear to Krishna, and you know, Prabhupada and Krishna. And I thought, well, you know, is it that true? that because I'm wanting to do this like this, that Krishna is actually intervening. So I did it again, devotees, third time in a row. After zero, for at least 6 hours, first of all, two in a row, so now the third person, and devotees, take a guess what happened. The same thing happened. And then I felt, okay, it must be true. Prabhupada is recognized by Krishna. And if we dedicate ourselves to Prabhupada, Krishna recognizes that. And Krishna will recognize us because of that. So, you know, I carried on, like I said, we would carry on till 5 or 5:30, so, and that had been 4 or thereabouts. So I carried on, and by the time we finished, after, you know, maybe another half hour, 45 minutes, I had distributed 10 or 12 of those Bhagavatams. And I tell you, honestly, and I remain to this day completely convinced, and even I would say beyond just conviction, but like it's just a reality, that Prabhupada is an associate of Krishna's, and if we dedicate ourselves to Prabhupada, Krishna will come to us. And then we extend the principle to the current day spiritual masters. None of us would say, or none of us would think, we're on the level of Prabhupada, because it's just not a fact at all. But at least, generally, we are really trying to serve Prabhupada as he would want. In terms of being a spiritual master, in terms of whatever other service. But here we're talking about spiritual master. And really trying to serve Prabhupada as his representative, as a spiritual master. Just to the best of our capacity, whatever that is. And we are sure that through doing this, the same mercy is flowing through. This is parampara. It didn't just end with Prabhupada. It's going to go on. And it's going to go on into the future when perhaps some of you have to do this type of service. Yeah, seriously. Already we have devotees, for you all know Kadamba Kalanamaraj. He's not a disciple of Srila Prabhupada. He's a disciple of a disciple of Jayadvaita Maharaj. But he's serving very nicely as a spiritual master. We have one also in Russia, Chaitanya Chandra Charan Prabhu, disciple of Jayadvaita Maharaj. So, yeah. So this is parampara, and this is the relationship with the spiritual master. And we should understand, really try and take it into our hearts, that as we are making our efforts to become Krishna conscious, at least those of us who are trying to take it seriously, that it's so important to cultivate the relationship with the spiritual master. First of all, to have one. Of course, if one isn't initiated, one can worship Prabhupada as spiritual master. And even when one is initiated, one must also do that. But also the relationship, personal relationship with the living spiritual master is there. And it's a reality. And it's such an important, vital part of our lives in Krishna consciousness. And this day is a sort of a reminder of that. So again, thank you all very much. Merci beaucoup. I will. I will not bug you or bother you or irritate you by speaking some broken French or, you know, practically destroyed Creole. I'll stick to English. But thank you, merci beaucoup. And we pray to Krishna and to Srila Prabhupada that will give you all their mercy. Hare Krishna.
This is so.